Workforce and Economic Development Committee. We're in session here. Before I go to opening a hearing this morning on the third in a series of disaster relief bills, committee members, I'd just like you to know that Representative Buckley has invited our committee to join them in a joint hearing with the Education Committee next Wednesday. It would be an evening committee meeting from 6:30 to 8:30. The topic would be the role of higher education on workforce development. And I know that my two co-chairs, having sat through last session and being the ones that that headed up the committee's report, knows that we had many instances where we thought that our interests and our issues overlapped with that committee. So this would be an opportunity for us to meet with them. What I will do is I will ask the committee members tomorrow how many of you would be able to attend that evening hearing so that I can let Chairman Buckley know that. Okay. And with that, I'm going to open a hearing on House Bill 3605. And Patrick, could you give us a review of that bill, please?
Certainly.
Summary. Thank
certainly,
you.
Mr. Chair. House Bill 3605 is the third of our three measures resulting from our January 14th meeting on the December storms in Northwest Oregon. This measure would permit the governor, in conjunction with a declaration of an emergency, to issue an executive order to suspend or extend certain requirements of law and provisions set forth in policies and contracts of insurance. This measure has an emergency clause and therefore would take effect upon passage.
Very good. Thank you. And have our honorary members of this committee, our triumvirate, General Caldwell, Paul Evans, and Ken Murphy, if you'd come forward, please. Welcome back. Thank you for coming this morning.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for that honorary status.
That's the closest we'll probably ever get, right?
Mr. Chair, if it's all right, I'd like to start. And first, I want to thank you for indulging a few minutes of waiting. It's not often we have traffic in Monmouth, but we actually did.
So, it's been a strange winter all around, hasn't
yes, it?
Yes,
it has.
It really has. My comments this morning will be very brief. I just want to emphasize that the House Bill 3605, the purpose of this bill is really to provide certainty during times of uncertainty, that when people are already having to go through a process of getting used to a change during the storm, that one thing they don't have to worry about is being dropped or having their rates tinkered with on their insurance. And that's really the need of this bill. That's the solution. We looked during the process, Recovery Planning Cell formed a work group, looked at other states, looked at Florida as a model, and the governor put into effect an executive order to suspend rate changes for the duration of the emergency. And afterwards, it was discussed in the Recovery Cabinet that this is one of those things that makes sense to have in statute. And I just want to commend DCBS on putting together good amendments to make an idea even stronger. So with that, I just want to say thank you very much for this opportunity to put forward this third, which will be the last of the package of bills for disaster, but thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you very much, Paul.
I'm Mr. Chairman of the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Director of the Military Department. Just want to fall in behind the governor's office and say that I think the governor's emergency actions were critical for many different things, but more importantly, I think it builds confidence in the citizenry who already have enough to worry about. And I think these seven things, if they're managed properly in DCBS, I think is going to, you know, as Paul indicated, offered some good amendments that'll do that. Then the state will be better off, and it does build that confidence that people need to have after they've had other major events happen in their lives. So we support it.
Thank you very much, General Caldwell. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Chair Witt, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ken Murphy, the Director of Oregon Emergency Management. Not much to add other than my support to the Governor's Office and what General Caldwell stated, and I just want to reiterate that I think the success of Oregon will be dependent upon what we do ahead of the next disaster in taking into account the issues that citizens have to face. As mentioned earlier, there's literally hundreds of different issues, some that we don't know until the actual disaster happens. So anything that we can do in advance of the disaster to take the pressure off of our citizens in this state of Oregon, I think really showcases our ability to plan and do things better. You know, and it clearly just simply one of the statements that I always have in my little briefings is today's preparations will determine tomorrow's outcomes. And I think this is a positive step forward.
Thank you very much. Committee members, questions or comments for our panel? Yes. Vice Chair Lim, please.
Yes. Oh, thank you. In case, I'm not sure other states what happened. You mentioned the Florida and some other state. But in such a way, could we find many insurance companies willing to cover of this kind of insurance in that area where it happens many times of this kind of disasters? And I'd like to find out some information about that.
Chair Witt, Representative Lim, I'll have to get some information and probably defer to my colleagues in DCBS to help on that.
Okay.
But we can get some information.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Vice Chair Lim, some of those folks are going to be visiting with us this morning. So,
thank you.
Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I didn't know if DCBS was coming up. I was just curious if we did have instances where people were having trouble with their insurance policies during this last flood in regards to rates going up or, you know, cancellations, things like that.
Mr. Chair, I will actually defer to Senator Johnson because I'm going to put some details up there. I think she was.
Senator Johnson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, let me thank you for the courtesy you've extended during these last three hearings. I'm going to excuse myself at 8:30 to go be on the floor, but I really appreciate the committee's indulgence letting me join you. I'm not going to be able to participate in the deliberations today, but the piece that I would like to leave for your consideration in speaking to this point is not so much instances of rate changes that we have discovered as being problematic, but a lack of understanding about the federal product that local insurance folks are selling. And I don't ascribe blame here. I offer no criticism. I think some of these small independent agencies have been absolutely overwhelmed with the magnitude of the claims, where people have literally, in Vernonia, lost everything. And I think that there is a widespread misunderstanding about how the FEMA flood insurance works, what's covered, what's not, the relationship with the adjusters, the awkward position that it puts the independent agents in. And while this bill doesn't speak directly to that, Mr. Kipper was nice enough to introduce himself prior to the start of this hearing, and I think maybe there's a role the state could play in helping to create a broader education with respect to policyholders and give some assistance to the agents who I think try very, very hard to service their policyholders but have discovered in the wake of a natural disaster of this magnitude that their little offices in some cases are simply overwhelmed. And so, again, I ascribe no blame to it. I just think that there may be a role for DCBS in a broader education context. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'm going to excuse myself and, again, thank you and the committee for your courtesy.
Thank you very much, Senator Johnson. Certainly have appreciated your attendance here.
Mr. Chairman, just following up with Senator Johnson's comments, just a tad, even as late as yesterday, and I think today is the last day or tomorrow is the last day. Today's the last day that people can sign up under FEMA for assistance. Their individual for their individual problems. As of, I read an email from Ken's staff yesterday, there were 36 new signups in Clatsop County yesterday, and this has been since December 2nd, literally since December 3rd or 4th, when we went out in the field, the OEM staff went out in the field, the counties went out in the field, we put on the radios, we put in the newspapers, you know, you need to get in and get assistance. And most of these people thought it was only dealing with the flood, and they said, well, we didn't have a flood. All we had was our roof blow off. And so there is a tremendous need and demand in this state to get public information out to folks. And it's always going to be a challenge. You're never going to get them all. But when you have a disaster of this magnitude with this much publicity, and yet on the last day, next to the last day, we're still signing up 36 people, there's something, you know, I don't know how you deal with that. How do you get that done? And I think a part of it is that education piece the Senator talks about, not only through the government, but through the private industry, particularly through the private industry as it comes to flood insurance and or any type of other insurance. And I think that'll make a big difference in the ultimate outcome. Last item is that we've asked for an extension. So we can extend that period out. Ken's staff has already filed the paperwork, and FEMA will most undoubtedly grant that extension. So maybe we can get some more media on it and get some more education out there.
Senator Jones.
Two other comments. I'm so glad that you said that, General Caldwell. We had a situation where benefits could have been extended under some limited circumstances to the crab fleet. And the notice on that was extraordinarily short. And I will give FEMA all the credit in the world for offering to be flexible about it, but very poor notice. The other thing is that I think some understanding of how FEMA works, because I know out there in federaldom there's a reason why when you apply for FEMA assistance you get an SBA application. It's unknown to me, but I'm sure somewhere out there that there's a rationale for that. But I think that fits into the broader piece of education. And the fact that the education needs to start ahead of time, because I'm not sure how well people are listening when their house is gone and all of their belongings have floated down the Nehalem River, and then they're learning the subtleties and the intricacies of their policy. And so to the degree that I think we're able to assist both independent agents selling this product and policyholders in understanding what the sideboards are, we will have done an enormous service to the next group of folks that come forward after a disaster looking for coverage under their policies.
General Caldwell, you bring up a good point, and one of the things that I learned coming out of this disaster was the fact that when folks have lost their homes, many of our traditional means of communication don't work. I know the folks that had lost their homes in Woodson were just 3 miles away from the mobile social services center that was set up, and one would think that a mere 3 miles away that the community that was buried in the mudslide would know where to go to seek help, and as it turns out we're completely unaware. They were not receiving their newspapers. Their newspaper boxes were under 10 feet of mud. They were seeking shelter elsewhere. The fact that their house was destroyed, they had no television or radio. And really, one of the things that I've learned is the need in many of these disaster situations for folks to be going quite literally door to door, making sure first that folks are okay, and secondly that they're made aware of the services that are available to them.
Mr. Chairman, I would totally agree, and I think that I was stunned, I think it was a week ago, when I had a briefing out at the Joint Field Office, and they went through the processes, and they were concerned. Everybody was concerned about that very thing, and they were really pushing forward on the counties and the cities to say, you need to go out and really start, if you have to, go to door-to-door. At least the Joint Field Office was, which is part of the feds and us put together. And I was just totally blown away yesterday when I heard 36 or 37 people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they simply, and that's how they did find them, Ken says, is they went door to door and said, what about you guys? Have you had some damage? Have you applied? And they said, well, we thought it was only for floods.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. And that information, and of course, unfortunately, not the media got other things to go to, hotter items to go to, so it's not going to be your normal thing. So I would totally agree with you, but we're doing some heavy duty outreach right now, trying to do what we can do to prevent that from happening. And if we get that extension, I think, which I'm sure we will, don't you think? And then I think we'll at least get the 99 percentile. There's always going to be the 1%. I don't care how hard you work, you're not going to get the message through.
Oh, very true.
Yeah,
absolutely. And we were light years ahead of where we were in the 96 disaster, and we're going to be that much better the next time around, based on our experience.
I would agree.
Further questions or comments? Gentlemen, thank you so very, very much. I'm going to invite up next the head of our insurance division, Scott Kipper. Welcome and good morning. I understand that we're going to be having some substantial amendments here to the bill as it exists. And before you begin your testimony, it would be wonderful if we could know a little bit about your background, some of your disaster experience, which you told me about personally yesterday. I think it's all very interesting.
Well, thank you, Representative Witt, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Scott Kipper. I am the administrator for the insurance division at DCBS, and we are here today in support of House Bill 3065. As a bit of background, I am brand new to DCBS, brand new to Oregon. My prior employer was the state of Louisiana, where I was the deputy commissioner for the Office of Health Insurance. I started there 12 days after Hurricane Katrina struck, and so it seemed that we were in emergency mode for a great deal of time thereafter. I also have worked in the private sector as a lobbyist for the National Health Insurance Trade Association, and also spent 5 years with the Wyoming Department of Insurance, where I'm from, and also 2 years at the staff at the National Association of Insurance Commissioners.
Well, congratulations on your new position. Welcome to the state of Oregon, and thank you for appearing here today. Welcome to your first appearance before our committee.
I thank you, and certainly looking forward to many other good, cordial, collegial discussions with you and the members of your committee.
Thank you so much. And if you would weave into your presentation maybe some of the work that you and your division did in Vernonia and in other areas that were struck with a disaster.
I'd be glad to do that, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please, Vice Chair Lynn.
I do appreciate that you have such a knowledgeable background, and in many different private governments, you know, many others. And what motivates you to come to our state with all those backgrounds? Just curious.
Well, moving from deputy commissioner to a position of a little bit more authority, I think it's a natural career move. But being a native Westerner, growing up in Wyoming, and actually had legislative duties here in Oregon back in the late 90s, and it was a natural opportunity for me to pursue.
Okay.
So it's
Thank
just
you.
Wonderful to be here, and I cannot tell you how impressed I am with the way Oregon does its business, the way the DCBS does its business, and certainly the friendliness and hospitality that has been extended to me since I've been here has been remarkable and much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kipper.
As you know, we've had some experience with as a result of the winter storms in December 2007. Immediately following the storm, DCBS and the insurance division sent in personnel into outreach efforts to assist the Oregonians in these affected areas. We posted information on our website directing and assisting consumers on both the federal flood insurance program and on their homeowners insurance coverage. We did send consumer advocates to the impacted areas and staffed official recovery centers, 4 days each in Vernonia and Seaside, and 3 days in Tillamook. And forgive me if I don't pronounce names of these communities quite right, as I'm still learning. In addition to staffing information booths at those sites, we did send signs and literature to the St. Helens and Astoria disaster recovery centers as well. We have worked intimately with the FEMA representative to make sure adequate resources were available to help consumers with their insurance questions. We've established a liaison with the National Flood Insurance Program for assistance with resolving those problems. We continue to handle questions or complaints regarding flood and other consumer insurance. These inquiries include what coverage is available, responsibility for damaged trees, for example, debris removal, and a reasonable cost for repairs to wind damaged homes. I must tell you that the volume of calls that have come into the office have remained relatively low, average 7 to 10 calls per week immediately following storms, and tapering off slightly to our current 2 to 4 calls. Now, that is not to say the problems have diminished. That's just the volume of calls have diminished. Now, at the direction of the governor, the Department of Consumer and Business Services also implemented an emergency order dated December 7th. Our goal was to provide consumers the protections necessary to get on with the recovery actions without having to worry that their insurance policies were going to be canceled. Specifically, the order prohibited insurers from non-renewing, canceling, or otherwise terminating homeowners, auto, health, and other personal lines insurance policies until January 3rd of 2008. In other words, they were giving 1 month in order to get their business taken care of. No interest, penalties, or other charges could be levied against consumers during that time frame who were covered by the extension. I must tell you that the insurance industry has been extremely cooperative and compliant with the emergency order. We did field many questions and inquiries from insurers to make sure that they stayed in compliance with the emergency order. The department did, in fact, place a brief note of thanks on the website to those insurers. And as I said, to date, the number of complaints have remained steady, but I must say that there have been no complaints alleging abuse, ignorance, or noncompliance of the emergency rule. In performing a post-emergency review, the division identified a handful of issues that, if given the time and the clarity of hindsight, we would have done a little bit differently. For instance, the offset on the amount of a claim against the premium. In other words, if I owed a premium for my homeowners but was able to delay the payment of that premium to January 3rd, if I made a claim, the rule allowed the company to take the amount of the premium out of the claim payment. In other words, an offset. That works well, perhaps, for homeowners, but that may not necessarily work as well for health insurance, where we have a third party, being the physician or the hospital, that may be the recipient of that claim payment. House Bill 3065 before you today would memorialize in statute many of the provisions set forth in the emergency rule. But as it is drafted, we believe the bill details includes detail that may be better addressed by rule, and that could inadvertently limit the DCBS's and the Division of Insurance's ability to protect consumers in the event of a disaster. Attached to my testimony today is a discussion draft of amendments to address some of those concerns. The draft language would require the division and the department to create rules that could be utilized to protect consumers in the event of a catastrophe. However, the rules would not be so restrictive so as to not allow creativity to address the needs of consumers. Rather, these rules would be a framework that could be used to address concerns and allow the department the flexibility to add or subtract provisions as deemed necessary and as driven by that particular catastrophe. The rulemaking process, which would be done well in advance of the next catastrophe, would allow the input of consumers and insurers to make sure that all points of view would be taken into consideration. And with that, I respectfully thank you for the opportunity to sit before you today, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kipper. Questions or comments for him from the committee? Yes, Vice Chair Lim, please.
Scott mentioned the bill number 3065. Is that the one we are looking at this time?
Yes, sir.
I think it's a 3605. We are looking at it, or this different number?
Yes, it's 3605.
My apologies, Vice Chairman.
Thank you.
I got the number wrong.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And there we go. Scott, if you would please, before I entertain additional questions or comments, could you briefly, maybe the 30,000 foot level, review the discussion draft, just simply the mechanics of that?
Certainly. The draft that you have before you would allow the would direct the Department of Consumer and Business Services to issue an order addressing one or more of the following issues that would come up: reporting requirements for claims, grace period for payment of insurance premiums, temporary postponement of cancellations or non-renewals, or applicability of any of the provisions of the insurance code. Basically, what this would do would direct the director to create a rule which then could be utilized when and if a next disaster occurs and it's necessary to issue an emergency order, and therefore direct insurers to take on certain responsibilities.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Scott, because of this discussion draft that you've given us, one of the things I wanted to get your opinion on is, first of all, we seem to have done these things during this last disaster. My question is, what's the need for a statute?
That's a very, Mr. Chairman, Representative Riley, that's a very good question. And the answer to that is, this would direct us to provide in advance some framework so that if this does happen again, that we would be better prepared to react to the needs of the consumers of Oregonians. I mentioned that if we had the clarity of hindsight and the time to create and work on these rules, we would have had a little bit better opportunity to come up with a better consumer protections, and this would allow us to do that.
And you don't think that you can do that without that statute?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Riley, I am I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not sure if there is we have the ability to do so or not. But I think this would make it much clearer as to whether we would have that ability.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Vice Chair Lim.
Scott, you mentioned that you have discussed with the insurance companies and plus others. I want to make sure that you have consulted with them. This is a consensus you came with, or as I read this bill, it seems to me we are giving unlimited power to the governors. Maybe I don't understand well enough, but I just want to hear from you that on my questions, if you could.
I'll try to address that, Representative Lim and Mr. Chairman. We have had some very brief discussions with members of the insurance industry on not only their reaction to the original emergency order, but also in reaction to the legislation before you. And I think that by getting their input during the process of rulemaking, I think we would have a much better and stronger consumer protection rule or set of rules as we go forward.
Okay, just my comment. Absolutely, I agree with you, consumer protection, but at the same time, we need to protect the industry also in a fair manner. So I just want to comment.
And certainly, Mr. Or Representative Lehman, Chairman Whip, that we would certainly, again, with the in consorting with the industry and consorting with the consumers, we would have that input.
Thank you.
And Vice Chair Lim, I'd just like to add that I was convinced by the industry that the entire effort here would be better served by going through the rules process, and that it would allow for much broader input by all parties concerned if we went with the rules route. And I think that there's a general agreement that is the best way to proceed on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're very welcome. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for being here, and welcome to the state of Oregon and your new position. Your testimony answered my first question about whether we really saw any abuses or anything like that, and that's really reassuring that the industry stepped up to the plate and really paid attention, I guess. And so I sort of have another follow-up to that, as you know, you were speaking of the post-emergency review and all that. Is how would the department look back to see, you know, how these claims were handled, or would you, you know, go back and see how many claims, you know, have been denied or something like that? Would that just come about if a consumer said, gee, I went through this emergency disaster and I had a claim for this, and this, and, you know, this claim was denied, and I'm not really sure why. So would they be able to come to you, and would that be part of your review process, I guess, as well?
Representative Holley, Mr. Chairman, yeah, absolutely. We have a very strong consumer advocacy unit within the Division of Insurance. And for the record, they field approximately 19,000 inquiries from consumers every year. We do keep track, and we do track trends of those complaints. And they're not all complaints. There's certainly some inquiries, some complaints. But if we noticed a trend of denials, if we noticed a trend of low settlement offers, certainly that we would engage with not only our consumer advocacy unit but our market surveillance unit to query and work with the carriers to make sure that they are upholding the contracts to which they've agreed to with these consumers. So we feel that we have extremely adequate consumer protections both during immediacy after a catastrophe of this nature, but also in the continued follow-up. We would also be tracking those particular issues.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Quick follow-up. So you're going to continue to follow that as potential complaints come in. Hopefully they don't, but sure, there'll be a few here and there, but just you do watch those trends. That's reassuring.
Yes, sir.
So thank you very much for the answer.
Anyone else?
I'm not seeing any. Scott, I want to thank you very, very much. And I also want to note that you and your division took it upon yourselves to be on the ground in Vernonia and in other communities right after the disaster, making absolutely certain to the best of your ability that the system worked as it should, and it has, and want to recognize that like so many other state agencies, you thought it was important to be there on the ground, and I thank you very, very much for doing that.
Yeah, thank you for that, and I will pass it on, but I wanted to assure you and the members of the committee that the citizens of Oregon are extremely well served by the members of the very professional staff at the Division of Insurance.
They certainly are. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It appears that we've exhausted the witness registration list. Is there anyone else in the audience today that would like to testify on this bill? First call, second call, last and final call. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3605. And the committee members at the beginning of our meeting this morning, I had mentioned that Chairman Buckley of the Education Committee has invited us to jointly meet with his committee next Wednesday. It would be an evening meeting from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. On the subject of higher education and higher ed's role in workforce development. I will ask you probably tomorrow whether you're, how many are going to be able to attend that meeting, so that we can give the Chairman Buckley an idea of how many seats we're going to be needing. At this point, we do not have anything scheduled for tomorrow. Is that correct, Patrick?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
And in the event that we have a couple of agencies that have requested an opportunity to appear before us on some issues that they would like to discuss with us. We're not sure that we're actually going to be able to get the necessary people here tomorrow in the time slot that our committee meets. Patrick is working on that. Should we be able to get the folks here before us, we will let you know later today. It would be strictly an informational hearing if in fact we do meet. Anything further on that, Patrick?
No, Mr. Chair.
All right. With that, anything else from good of the order from our committee?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please, Vice Chair.
If we want to meet, do we not have to give a 24-hour notice?
Please, Patrick.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lim, we are, during this special session, are operating under, for informational hearings, we are operating under what Ramona calls post and go. We can post informational meetings immediately prior to a hearing, up to the moment we gavel into a hearing. So that's the as far as informational meetings. The time the posting notices are for public hearings. First public hearing, 48 hours. Work sessions, 24 hours. But for informational meetings, it's post and go.
Post and go.
Yes.
I never heard that.
it's a new one for staff as well.
Tag, you're it, Vice Chair.
Well, Mr. Chair,
yes,
I'm not certain that I understand the rule in this regard, but I think that for information meetings, that's always the rule.
Yes, and I had actually, Vice Chair Lim, I had the very same question this morning.
Okay.
And I was also told that it's post and go, so
okay.
A new item for our lexicon here this morning. Further information for the general good here? Not seeing any. Committee members, members of the audience, thank you very much. We are adjourned.